Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You've listened to once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And today I'm not going to prolong the agony. We've been waiting to hear from my brother and our dear friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, on the fifth Sunday of every month, that where there is a fifth Sunday. We believe it's an urgent need to discuss ethical and ethnicity. There are those who say in America that we African Americans should just be Americans, and we are the true Americans, as the great writer Albert Murray, the great Alabamian writer, says. However, we've come with a unique contribution, and we certainly come with a very bright contribution to America in the work of Imam Waqidin Muhammad, who constructs for us a healthy ethical ethnicity. So without a further ado, I'm going to invite to the mic our dear brother and dear friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam of Selma, Alabama, who will take us further into our program of Religion Means Alive.
With Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We thank Him for the gifts and blessings of the model human person, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable, noble servant and messenger of a God, Allah. And what follows of that salute, of that traditional salutation to the last prophet, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets mentioned in the Bible as it is given in Al-Quran. Dearly beloved believers, guests, and participants in this broadcast and dialogue, we greet you in the greetings, subhanAllah, of Assalamu Alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Let me say it is indeed a blessing to come to you on this first day of the Muslim fasting holy month, the month of Ramadan, and we know that this is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the first revelations to Prophet Muhammad during a night in this month forever known as Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. And I think it's befitting to understand that after Muhammad came, a good portion of the world, including the Muslim world, regressed back into a state of darkness, even though the Western world had benefited in the historical epoch called the Renaissance from the mission and work of Prophet Muhammad. Even though they had benefited somewhat in the epic called the Enlightenment, as well as Martin Luther's Protestant Reformation, they had regressed back into a state of darkness in the 20th century, World War I and World War II, and the Muslim world too. Regress back to a state of abject darkness. And it was in this state of global and collective darkness that Allah allowed a descendant of slaves, a one with the features of Belial, never had all, to experience us, in a sense, his night of power. Will Allah bless him to bring back the freshness, the purity, and the wisdom of the Quran, Al-Quran, that Allah has revealed to his prophet, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as an African-American, every time I experience this month of Ramadan, I must reflect how Allah blessed the Imam, the late Imam Muhammad D. Muhammad, to experience this later Takata, this night of power, which is better than 1,000 months. And in this experience, he became the most proficient and efficient explicator of the Quran Mubin since the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I say to all members of our ethnic group that if we are going to conform to cosmic ethics, we must not reject the plan of Allah. We must not be envious. We must not be jealous of the grace that he bestowed upon Imam Muhammad Muhammad when he gave him a night of power type religious experience, excuse me. We must not be guilty of that unethical behavior, because Allah bestows his grace upon whom he wills without measure. Some of the people of the book rejected the grace that Allah had bestowed upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of insolent envy. And regretfully, I believe that many in the African-American elite, both secular and religious, both Christian and Muslim, so-called, excuse me again, it's the month of Ramadan and the system is going through an adjustment, inshallah, we'll be all right. Violating cosmic ethic and rebelling against Allah's choice, against his selection, against his election of Imam Muhammad as the destined individual to fulfill the outworking and concretization of the Allah's divine plan for African Americans as an ethnic group here in America. So we would like to talk about and to discuss today, we must stop praying in the sand and willingly comply with Allah's plan, i.e. acknowledge that Imam Wahid Muhammad was indeed Allah's man by playing in the sand. We mean allowing our ego will to supersede the divine will, by allowing our ego will and our desire for greatness and recognition and acknowledgement to make us fail to have the proper taqwa, fear of Allah, so that we would submit our wills to the Lord of all the worlds. I submit that just as if there can be a masjid built on sand where there exists, where there's an absence of taqwa, an individual's life can also be built upon sand, where they adopt a posture that they attempt to will in contravention to the way Allah wills, the Lord and sustainer of all the worlds. But when Allah establishes a plan, those who believe submit to that plan. Now, I know enough about Al-Islam to know that no individual must bear witness to Imam Muhammad. We bear witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Muhammad is Rasulullah. But if we believe that Allah is the creator of the heavens and earth, and if we have fear of that, have taqwa and reverence and regardfulness for his will, then how can we say la ilaha illallah when we reject the plan that is an expression of his will? So we can verbalize the idea of la ilaha illallah and bear witness. But like the Jews, they claim to acknowledge the Creator. But they refuse to go along with his plan that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the prophet that everyone was expecting, was the long-awaited Ahmed. So I hear this talk about some Muslim. We don't have to witness anything about Imam Muhammad. No, we don't. We're supposed to witness Allah. And if we witness Allah, we must witness his work. And why should we not go along with his work? If Allah choose any man for a specific mission, and we are have taqwa and regardfulness for Allah's choice, then why should we reject that choice? That's illogical. So we can play these little word games and mind games if we want to. No, Allah hears and sees everything. Why should a sincere believer who loved Muhammad reject the one who came and proficiently and efficiently explicated what Allah gave Muhammad, the Quran? How can we love Muhammad but reject the one who was most dedicated to the mission of Prophet Muhammad since the time of the Sahabas? How can we love Muhammad and reject and detest the individual that was the most dedicated disciple of Muhammad in the last 1,400 years or more? So no, we don't have to bear witness about anything with the Imam to be a believer. But as a believer, we must have regardfulness for Allah. As a believer, we must love those who love Muhammad. We must love those who love our prophet. We must love those who dedicate their lives to establish and renew the work of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't have to say nothing about Wallace to be no Muslim. The same thing the Jews said. I don't have to acknowledge anything about Muhammad to be a believer in my faith. Technically, they were correct. But their words were hollow, because they were reaping and reeking with hypocrisy. with Allah, His plan is strong and unfailing. And when Allah plans a plan, that plan is undergirded with great wisdom and is backed up by awesome might. And I can't contemplate how any puny human being with such flaws and frailties would have the audacity to even dream of challenging the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with His will, it's not limited by time, dearly beloved audience. It's not limited by space. And we are going to take a trip across history, especially focusing on the special year in the 20th century, the year 1964, when the healing messages emanating from human history was pointing and signaling to the presence of a new mind on the planet. A mind that within 11 years will come into his mission to advocate a posture in the deen that will remake the world. In 1964, this reality had already been established in the womb of time. So we want to go back to that year, 1964, but we want to briefly reflect on some other years as well. But before we get started,
nothing. Did he hang up on his side?
I think he might have.
But he's still, it says he's still logged in.
Oh, he's not
logged.
Oh, is
334
him?
That's
him.
Oh, no, his things are blue.
Man, he's
seated. Are we on the air?
Yes, sir.
Are we on the air? You're talking in the background.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you are on the air.
Okay, I had a technical difficulty. I got to move right along. I just wanted
yes,
to
sir.
Make sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it is he who has created you, and of you are some that are unbelievers and some that are believers. And it says that Allah sees well on all that you do. Many men, when they are with the believers, will say, I believe. But we are not capable of getting inside of people's hearts to see whether they believe. But Allah sees, Allah knows. From Him, nothing is hidden. So we have to understand one of the key tests of belief versus non-belief is whether as human beings we are willing to submit to the reality that everything that exists praises Allah, including those things which we think we have created and that are praising us. We have to be willing to admit that to Allah belong the mulk, the dominion over everything, the death and the life. And we have to admit that He has power over all things and that Allah is fully in charge of His affairs. I have to come this way because in order for us to look at what we're trying to say today, we have to be the kind of believers that understand that Allah has full charge of His affairs and that He has the dominion over all things and power over all things. And as this wonderful show closes out, and this is what I like, the punchline. So he says, he is to know what is hidden and what is open, exalted in might, full of wisdom. See, when the people in 1964 were studying the open events, the events that everybody could see, that the pundits could see, that the historians could see, that the social analysts could see, that the everyday people could see, there were hidden events as well. And one of the main hidden events was that the universal man had already been established in America. And that in the last time, he would come forward. He specifically, 11 years later, in February 1975, exactly 11 years after 1964, this new man came with a new mind to remake the world anew. We're referring to the Lady Man Wanted to Be Muhammad. We have to respect, stop playing in the sand, having this religion expression devoid of genuine taqwa, regardfulness, and reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must be willing to submit to his plan and to acknowledge that Wanted to Be Muhammad was his man to bring back the deen as established to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was his plan. It was not his plan that the late Dr. Martin Luther King do that. It was not his plan that the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad do that, or Malcolm Shabazz, any other leader, Frederick Douglass, Martha Garvey, Noble Drew Lee, Cicero Tue, Harriet Tubman, Dennis Wheatley, Benjamin Banneker, David Walker, Henry Garland Garnett, Alexander Cromwell, Mary Bethune, Anna B. Wells, Barbara Jordan, Barack Hussein Obama, Minister Louis Farrakhan, Sheikh Buche Buche. There's no group of men and men who can put a man in place to carry out a mission that Allah didn't grant. If Allah didn't grant, there's no other forces that can grant. And when I was whole, there's no one that can stop him from withholding. One of the main events of 1964 was a tragedy that occurred the third week of June with the disappearance of those three wonderful civil rights workers in the form of Cheney, Goodman, and Swerner. And here we have, 50 years later, in Philadelphia, African-American people engaging in a similar wrongdoing as the racists committed in Philadelphia 50 years ago. We can't see it. But if we had the proper reverence for God, we would see it. And we will stop trying to project a man to take the place of another man in a mission to establish Al-Islam in America. We can all do good work. We can all be good believers. We can all say that it was not but one man sent to this country to unify believing Muslims. Ever any man wrong for Dean Muhammad. No other person can carry out that mission. Now, people can have other missions, but not that mission. And any individual or any combination of individuals that attempt to establish such a pseudo-mission is merely playing in the sand in rebellion against Allah's plan. This Western world, they know about the plan of God, but like other men, they may reject. I would like to call your attention to this work called Patterns of Prophecy by an individual by the name of Alan Vaughn. And we know in the Quran, it talks about the patterns that undergird reality in the future. We all know that. So this is nothing. This statement, though it's in secular language, is not foreign to us. This author says, Alan Vaughn, he says, if I were to dare to translate this concept into religious terms, I might say that all human activity, as we just read in Quran, all human activity is guided towards certain goals by some intelligence so vastly greater than our own that we cannot begin to comprehend it. The existence of this plan. This man acknowledged that a law of infinite intelligence and wisdom and skill, that he has established a plan. And it goes on to say, a blueprint for humanity. We can tap possibly through another dimension future possibilities that on a transcendental level. The coincidences or synchronicities that link our lives are manifestations of what he's talking about in secular language. Quran calls these phenomena signs in the universe that Allah tells us to reflect upon. And then he goes on, manifestation of a universe so highly organized that literally nothing happens by chance. It's organized because it has a supreme creator and organizer behind it. Like some incomprehensibly complex clockwork, the universe unfolds in time, in space, it's in a plan that does not allow for accidents. Chance is but an illusion fostered by our incomplete knowledge of the universe's greater plan. Of course, we know that means the law's greater plan. So now, Allah has a plan for mankind. Allah has a plan for America. Allah has a plan for the American people. Allah has a plan and a destiny for African American people. And that plan is strong as an unselling. Every move he makes, every action he takes, is part of an intricately devised, orchestrated plan. Not only does Allah have a plan, the execution of that plan is implemented according to a stipulated and ordered time framework. So whatever happens in 2014, it was designed to happen this year, not in 1964 or 2114. And again, we study the knowledge of this world. We know that everything according to Quran happens at a time appointed. That even the time of judgment in all the swiftness, that judgment, this day of Yom Kippur, this day of Yom Kippur, has been planned by Allah. In His sight, it has happened with the speed of the twinkling of an eye. But again, the wise of this world, they understand this idea of timing or divine timing. In their high heavenly knowledge, they have a term called kairos. And it says that kairos was associated with a critical place appropriate in just measure. Kairos captures the act of decision in the intensity of the briefest possible moment. Those divine actions, those divine expressions of a large time are quicker than the twinkling of an eye. But this author says, in the briefest possible moments. In some contexts, the word means criterion. And when Allah set down this Quran, He set down in that decisive moment during the night of power, in that what they would call that special moment that's better than 1,000 months, that Kairos moment that they talk about in secular language. It also says judgment or the act of decision itself. God say when He decrees to punish the people, there's none can push it back nor bring it forward. That He makes a judgment and a decision to punish and terminate peoples, to terminate civilization, to terminate cultures. All of it happens at what they call the right moment, the nickel time. But in saying the nickel time, Satan is really bragging, Saint Nick, the devil is really bragging that I too am like Allah. I make my things happen in the nickel time. When I try to make things rise from the west, I have a plan too. My plan is God-like. And I release and I do things according to a sequence of planning. On my time schedule, that's the devil is Satan himself. When you look at history the way we're going to look at it today, we're not bringing history based upon the guidance of any PhD historian. In a secular historian, we're bringing history based upon the guidance of Allah. And the guidance of Allah is the only guidance. And Allah guides us through His signs, through His evidence, through His lessons and proofs. And these signs are clear according to Quran, Surah 2, verse 118, clear to those with faith. These signs are in nature and in all of creation. Surah 10, verses 5 and 6. These signs are in the farthest reaches of the heavens and earth, the cosmos, in infinitesimal space. These signs are everywhere. These evidences, these lessons, and these proofs. But they're also in the mysterious depths of our soul. So it says in Surah 41:53 that these signs are also in our own soul. These signs are in ourselves. even in the seed that we throw out in the ground, there's a sign. Psalm 53, 63 through 67. Yesterday, as I was relaxing at Starbucks, getting ready to purchase me one of my favorite beverages, contemplating and reflecting before I came home and began to prepare for today's comments, I glanced over and I saw a sign of the times contained in the New York Times. And it had a headline article called that stated dealing with the 100th anniversary of the beginning of World War One, June 28th, 1914, talked about how that great war had shaped modern reality. But it did not talk about how that great war was the beginning of an accelerated process orchestrated by Allah himself to bring about the decimation in the end of the whole Gentile world order. It was the beginning. That was the real effect. That war was started when Archbishop Ferdinand and his wife Sophia was assassinated in Sarajevo in Austria. Now, if we look and science up upon the word praying, it's related to the idea of being free. The European never were a free people, even though they enslaved African Americans. The very name Europe itself suggests constraint. The U, like in eulogy, it represents pleasing. And the puppeteer that was controlling the Gentile, or Esau, or the European, he was begging, "I got a good rope on Esau. I got a good string on Esau. He's nothing but a puppet dancing on my string." And he tied it into his psycho-spiritual supplantation of Western culture, the Roman Empire culture, by going in and replacing that pagan religion with a grafted religion of so-called Christianity. And this myth is entitled The Rape of Europa by this bull, by this Zeus, by the one who follows the four sacred letters of the Tetragrammaton, as the Imam taught us, by this Jupiter. Now, I didn't put it together. Jupiter means father. Now, the Roman god, chief god, is Jupiter. The Greek chief god of four letters, which is a form of Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, G-E-U-S. But the Roman counterpart is Jupiter. And it's saying literally that Jupiter, that the Jew is the father of Western civilization in the sense that they gave them the similar ideas for their root value system. Did you dig, Christian? Help me. Specifically, the religion was proselytized by one by the name of Saul of Tarsus or St. Paul. So 1914 was really the beginning of a process that was going to lead to the kind of freedom that talked about in Quran, where Prophet Muhammad said, "I am a free man of this city." In 1914, there was no freedom on this planet. The human being was constrained by weak ideas, lies, and falsehoods. But the law started a process in this year sandwich between the starting of the Moorish American movement by Noble Drew Ali and the starting of the Darby movement in 1915. This year, and those two movements were to eventually bring about a reality where the descendants of slaves, African-American people, would receive freedom, justice, and equality through the tafsir that the Imam brought of Quran Kareem. That's what World War One was really all about. To break up the constraints of the rape of Europa and that hole that the European imperialism and colonialism had on global man. But the European never was in charge. Joel is the movie Superman, and its Hollywood fantasy depicts was really the father of Gentile he saw in Superman. The law originates creation and repeats it by giving us this theme of freedom with France. But a few weeks later, when the Germans were getting ready to take over France and possibly change the history of the world forever, in a place called Martinet in France, again a word too that means Frank or to be free. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterates this idea of freedom again. That's what brought us the Islamic understanding that we have now, the Imam sitting at his father's feet, the feet of ministers, according to him, being told that Islam is about freedom, justice, and equality. And because he believed that, because he was inspired by that, he wrote an explanation of Quran that has been established, that can free all human beings, all sons and daughters of Adam on this planet. That possibility could have never happened if the Gentile world was not brought to its fullness in the pattern that the slicksters planned, that they would continue this scheme until the Gentile world reached its fullness. Today, June 29th, 1914, would be the 73rd birthday of the late African-American freedom fighter, Kwame Ture, some know him as Stokely Carmichael. And I have to acknowledge that because my family history is intricately intertwined with the biography of Stokely Carmichael. I remember when he came to Tuskegee University and recruited my younger sister, my older sister, come and work with him in Lowndes County, Alabama, engaging in a series of organizational activities and actions that would eventually result in the changing of the face of America, as well as, in a sense, a globe, the globe. I don't have time to explain that. But I remember in the late 90s, right before he passed, he came to Selma, Alabama, back to Lowndes County. And when I saw him and met him, I reflected on this fire-breathing freedom fighter who came into my home, was sitting down at my mother's table, eating my mother's southern fried chicken and cornbread and yams and iced potato salad, as we called it. And I had been outside standing on the corner with some of my neighborhood friends, and we had been engaging in adolescent male banter. And I came in the house with my stocking cap on and what have you, not thinking that it was anything wrong with that. And I remember being challenged by him, telling me something about I hated my black self because I was trying to make my hair wavy and curly with a stocking cap. But being in a state of ignorance and jahiliya, didn't really understand who the man was, could care less who he was. My only reaction was a knee jerk reaction to blast him with every ounce of vulgarity and profanity that I could think of as a 15, 16-year-old young African-American buck. But I remember when I saw him, I told him, Stokely, I was a president pro tem of the Selma City Council. I said, you don't remember me. I'm Ruby's brother. And then his mind went back over the years, and we locked in common memory. And then I said, I'm going to give you the key to the city of Selma. And I never will forget that the mayor of the city at the time, the late Joseph Smitherman, the same mayor who was in power when King and Stokely worked in the Black Belt, he was presiding over the city council meeting. And when I presented Stokely the key, he said to his mayor and said, look, if you were presenting this key to the city of Selma, you know, in that old firebrand 16 mindset, I wouldn't take it. But because Ruby brother, Yusuf Abdul Salam, is giving me this key, I accept it and accept it with honor. And on this occasion of his 73rd birthday, please forgive me for interjecting those memories into this broadcast. When Allah has a plan is powerful, deep, strong, and unfailing. We're in 2014. The war started in 1914, 100 years ago. In both years, we have the 14, which in Quran is the surah entitled Ibrahim, after our father Ibrahim. And that sure starts off by how Allah can bring us out of the depths of darkness into light. And if we look at this plan that Allah had to bring justice and equality, it was rooted in the idea that in order to free a people and in order to liberate a people, that people must be brought out of the depths of darkness into light, but not to any light, but into the light that the liberator, Muhammad, brought, peace be upon him. If we study American history, the physical emancipator of African-American people allegedly was Abraham Lincoln. That name Abraham, the so-called bringer of physical emancipation, is a sign as to what was going to be needed to emancipate the minds, the souls, and spirit of African-American people, the religion of Ibrahim, our father. And who would do that? The word Lincoln literally means fool. Allah was going to take in his divine plan some fools from the darkness of Georgia, allow them to migrate toward the North Star, bring them to Michigan, the land of the great water, and rain down a movement that will start an evolutionary process that would lead to us being enlightened by a higher refined expectation of Quran brought by the son of Elijah Poole. It's no accident that the man who wrote about this movement, African-American scholar E. Cyric Lincoln, had the same name that did Abraham Lincoln. And again, Lincoln means fool. And our first president from the land of Lincoln has a name, Barak, that if you do research on it, it too is related to the idea of fool. And there's a statement in our religion that one day we will meet at the pool. One day we will meet at the pool. I know I have brothers and our highly refined sheikhs and members of the ulama. They don't want to look at the possibility that Muhammad and Ali came back together through the pool. The work of Elijah Muhammad and his son, Walter D. Muhammad, they were Mujahideen. They were champions that brought us back, and we met at the pool, at the cowtop, the fountain of the great wisdom of Quran. And that one of the main workers in this great work had both the name of Muhammad and Ali, our great heavyweight champion. These are the signs of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a saying in Western esoteric knowledge, as above, so below. When the Nation of Islam started in 1930, down in the depths of the earth, not even above the soil, but beneath the soil, in the underclass of Detroit, Michigan, in Paradise Valley. While that was happening on earth, below, up above, there was a meeting in the heavens of the science of high psychological knowledge. And in the science of matter, a meeting in 1930, one year before Farad met the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1933. One of the premier scientists of the psyche, and one of the premier scientists of matter, atomic physicists, nuclear physicists, quantum physicists, the scientists of the mind, Carl Jung, the scientists of matter, Wolfgang Pauli, they met in 1930, and as they began to collaborate in the seven, in the heavens, things began to happen on earth as a result of that meeting between the Lord Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Don't take what happened in Detroit, Michigan lightly. It was big, and ultimately, in time, these two meetings would come together. The activity in the heaven and the activity in the lower depths of the earth in Paradise Valley in Detroit, Michigan, when Farad Muhammad, that mystic, was used by Allah as an instrument to initiate the movement of the lost foundation of Islam in America. I would go so far as to say that the work of Wolfgang Pauli and Jung was a mere reflection of a bigger work that was going on earth, because it was time for the fulfillment of that prophecy, both in Bible and Quran, where Almighty God says that he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, where the people on earth have the same light, the same knowledge, the same wisdom. So these earthly men, these common men, these ignorant fools out of Georgia, Allah has raised them up out of the depths of darkness and the light, and gave them the understanding of the religion of our father Ibrahim in the metaphorical prophetic pattern in the name of the physical emancipator. Was expressed in reality when the Imam came into the wonderful understanding of Quran, Kareem, Quran, Mubin. When Allah plans a plan, implement that plan, and that plan manifests itself on the material plane, then believe me, there's great wisdom behind that plan. There's great might behind that plan. Too many of us trivialize what happened with the late Elijah Poole. Too many of us trivialize and take for granted the nation of Islam. Too many of us look at it with narrow eyes and small minds. Believe me, when you deal with what happened in Detroit, Michigan, when you deal with what culminated in the great work of Imam Muhammad, you're dealing with one of the biggest events in human history. And for little boys to play in the sand and act like they could just pick up the mound and discharge the awesome responsibility themselves, that they can be the Atlas, that they can put that powerful mission on their shoulders. No, indeed, they were not crafted. They were not chiseled. They were not hewed. They were not developed. They were not prepared to do what Elijah did. They were not prepared to do what Allah prepared Imam Muhammad to do. God says in the Quran, after years of preparation for our prophet Musa, he said, and then you came here, O Musa, as a Dane. Then you came here as a Dane, O Musa. He had prepared him on the river. He had prepared him when he went back to his mother. He had prepared him when he gave him establishment in Pharaoh's kingdom. He was preparing him when he allowed him to be taught by a religious scientist outside of the hall of Pharaoh. He, in the land of Midian, he prepared him when he showed him a burning brand. He prepared him when he put the rod in his hand and it became a serpent. Praise Allah, prepared him for that mission. Allah prepared the pool. Allah prepared Elijah when he was a little boy. He prepared him, gave him a love for scripture. Allah prepared him. Allah took a womb, separated the nation of Islam, put Imam Muhammad in a special womb that no other African American had been placed in, educated by his father, educated by his mother, not allowed to be corrupted by the June womb of America. I was corrupted by the June womb of America. You were corrupted by the June womb of America. Farrakhan was corrupted by the June womb of America. Martin Luther King was corrupted by the June womb of America. Malcolm Chappelle was corrupted by the June womb of America. Why is Muhammad the only one that was born in a special room, raised in a special room, graduated into a new womb called the Quran, developed by Quran, mind fed, so fed by Quran. Now, who else was prepared to do his job? We better stop playing in the sand and come into compliance with Allah's divine plan. Now, the depths of darkness and the light, both Hume and this great physicist, Paulette, they were confounded by this number 137, and I'm looking at this book called Deciphering the Cosmic Number, The Strange Friendship of Wolfgang Pauli and Carl Jung. That's all right, too. But one day, we're going to have to write a book about the relationship between the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and that strange mystic, Master Farad Muhammad. Now, I'm going into this book, and they say that this number deals with the constitutional makeup and wavelengths of light, the DNA of light. It's called a fine structure constant. And they say if this number had been changed just a little bit, the whole universe would have been incapable of giving life. Now, let's just elevate that to the level of life. If Quran had not come, which contained the DNA of divine life, do you understand? The structure of the human life could not have been maintained. That fine structure, that constant structure, that cannot be changed, that Allah created in Adam. So now, what was happening in the heavens? The fascination with this number actually occurred on earth, because there were men who together contained this number 137. That was given ultimately the light of Quran to bring back the form, to bring back the structure of Adam to African-American people specifically and global man in general. Yes, this is the depths of Allah's plan. Malcolm X, born on the 19th, 1 and 9 is 10, that's one. Why Muhammad, born on the 30th of October, eliminate the zero, that's three. Elijah Muhammad, born October 7th. So the combined digits of these three men who was instrumental in establishing Quranic light in America. Embodies this cosmic number, all praise due to law of 137. But these men did not always have this light to hold together the human life. They came out of the depths of Georgia, the depths of darkness in Georgia. And if we want to study the signs that celebrate the Lord's praises in Georgia, go back and study the spiritual, psycho-spiritual topography of Georgia. Go back and follow Highway 7, which is a sign of Elijah Poole. That Highway 7 runs into Perry, Georgia, the birthplace of his wife, Clara Muhammad. Then go over a few miles to the west, and you'll see U.S. 19 combined with 3 coming out of Ellaville, Georgia. You start at Miami, you see all these names going through Butler, Georgia, a few miles from Little, Georgia. 19 and 3. Malcolm said was his spiritual mentor. The 19, as far as coming into genuine Islam, the 19 is not paired with the 7. The 19 is paired with the 3. Malcolm was Wallace's student, Quranically. Wallace was not Malcolm's student. I defy any of these so-called educators or academicians in America to step forward and challenge this knowledge. All this knowledge is coming from the high heavens of their established life. Some of our African-American scholars are afraid to move beyond the pale, afraid to step, to make the deep step, and to come away from consensus ideas. Elijah Muhammad was from Deep Step, Georgia, outside of Sandersville, and he was willing to step away from the Western paradigm to seek his knowledge. The same way that Musa was willing to step away from the Egyptian paradigm and to seek his knowledge under Jethro Raoul. This plan that a lot at work is not a little childish plan for children playing in the sand. Little boys acting like they're on a beach playing in the sand somewhere, building fantasy sand castles. You can't make nobody no leader. Allah makes the leaders. All you out there, I'm talking about you little African-American gin and slick Muslim imams, all of you together can't make a leader. Allah makes the leader. Oh, yes. So this number that confounded the wise become a sign of how Allah was going to give the light of Quran to this these leaders working to resurrect the sons and daughters of Adam, to bring them back to that structure, that constant structure that Allah put in the original pattern of Adam. And in the early years, they talked about, I'm the original man. I'm going back to that structure. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to lead the planet. I'm the cream of the planet. All that was good inspiration, but not reality. But Allah did bring them to that light reflected in Quran. And the Imam got into the DNA of the Quran. and when these men were collaborating with each other, the scientists of the site, like our prophet Yusuf, yeah, went and studied some of the science of the attack wheel. I'm talking about Jung. And when this physicist, Pauli, brought his dreams, he would interpret those dreams, interpret those events. I'm talking about Jung, the way our prophet Yusuf, peace be upon him, would do. And I've studied in two books the contents of these dreams. And really these dreams from this scientist in heaven was a reflection as to what Allah was getting ready to do on earth. That they were, these dreams were referring to events that were developing in the nation of Islam. The wise of the world read these two books, but they're not going to tell us that. I'm going to refer to two of the dreams, both that occur on one of the birthdays of Imam Muhammad. Oh, yes, we can play in the sand if we want to, not understanding the great plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of what he did by emancipating our minds and our spirits, by bringing us out of the depths of darkness, as he revealed in Surah Ibrahim, into light, and gave us the Quran, and gave us the best tafsir of the Quran through the explication of Imam Wahid-Din Muhammad on October 30th. Wolfgang Pauli wrote Jung about a dream that he had. It could have been referring to him because the dream and its symbolism and what it means never happened in the life of Wolfgang Pauli. But Pauli was not just having an individual dream. He was having a dream like Prophet Yusuf had, that had collective implications, that had global implications, that transcended him as an individual, and it was a prophecy as to what Allah was going to get ready to do on earth while he was dreaming his dream in heaven. October 30th, 1938, when the Imam turned 5 years old, and the social scientist psychology tell us that the human personality basically picks up many of his ingrained traits between the age of 5 and 7. So we see this dream that was pertaining to what was called Zosimos vision. Zosimos was a seer in ancient Egypt, and he laid down the science of alchemy, which dealt with the mutation of the human being from the base level of earthly Adam to the second Adam, a spiritual man, a heavenly man. Now, literally, many people think alchemy is talking about changing metals from base metals to refined metals like gold. But really, it's talking about transforming the human nature, growing the human nature to the full potential that Almighty God has established for the human being. And so, this vision in the alchemical process at the top, at the apex of that evolution, is the phoenix. And the Imam represents the African-American people coming out of the ashes of slavery and developing in a resurrected, renewed, regenerated, rejuvenated form under the power of revealed religion. this dream on October 30th in heaven is reflecting what this common man on earth, his life mission would be. To evolve the African-American psychology to the under the guidance of Quran to the Phoenix State. And that's exactly what happened, even to the extent that literally his father, who gave him biological birth, was not only a resident of Chicago, but the residents of Phoenix, Arizona as well. And he may have talked about this Phoenix process in Pensacola, Florida, while invited there by a late friend and General Belair. Oh, yes. So this dream that Paulie had on Imam's fifth birthday was prophetic and prescient when it came to his life mission. And once Imam became a minister and consciously began to study and teach Quran, at that very time, this physicist in the heaven had another dream with implications for the budding Quranic movement on earth. Oh, yes. In 1954, this scientist had a series of dreams in the eighth dream. I repeat, the eighth dream occurred on October 30th, 1954. And in that dream, he was having conversation with another physicist, a Danish physicist by the name of Niels Bohr. And in the dream, he saw a letter, the letter B. In the Danish language, there is no WB or WU. There's no letter W in that language. And we know that the first letter in Imam's name is W. Wallace. So they went on to talk about that in that English language, that WU comes from Old German. And then they began to interpret the dream, and a professor told him, look, that W is related, is about the word window. The word window. And he said the old W means eyes on the wind. And so then it came up, goes on to say that literally this particular dream was about someone coming along and casting a new, having a new way to cast eyes on the wind. Meaning the wind is the word oil of the spirit. Allah revealed to the prophet, in the Quran, that when I breathe into my man, he revealed to him that at that point the shaitan must bow down. So when he breathed to him, so wind represents the spirit. So this dream on October 30th, 1954, when the Imam turned 777, and he began to grind away at the mill, studying Quran, studying mythology. Allah was blessing him to be a new mind, a new leader, with a new way of looking at spiritual matters. As the dream say, a new way of casting the eyes on the wind. The Imam didn't dream this physicist dreamed it, and Jung, following a prototype cat wheel, interpreted the great dream But what they didn't know, but what Allah knew, because Allah knows and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners, that he was preparing a man. Some 60 years ago, in 1954, some 10 years before this man had developed in the womb of Quran in Sandstone Prison between 1961 and 1963. And when he came out, he had a new way of looking at the Nation of Islam. He had a new way of looking at Christianity. He had a new way of looking at Western man. He had a new way of looking at the Muslim world. Oh, yes. Allah had blessed him with deep understanding of matters of the wind, had given him a new perception, had opened up the doors of perception, had fulfilled the Quranic prophecy that one day the doors of heaven would be open as if they were scrolls unfolded or unfurled. Meaning that Allah opened up all universal scripture and revelation to this man who turned 21, October 30th, 1954. You don't have to accept what I'm saying. Go read this book, Pauline Jung, The Meaning of Two Great Minds. But their minds were not any greater than the mind of Elijah Pooh Muhammad, was not any greater than Farad Muhammad, that mystic, was not any greater, especially than the Lady Bayan Warakuddin Muhammad. I don't have to tell you why that was Dave's dream in the series. He may have talked about Dave. This is Ramadan. We have to call it power today, and we carry the power. No one in the heavens can challenge what this donkey just said on earth. This donkey speaking with a man voice that gave us the depth and the breadth of the master plan that Allah executed when he allowed the slave descendants to rise to the Mount of Glory with deep understanding of Quran Kareem. And when a creator demonstrates that kind of might, what kind of ethics does any individual of any ethnicity have when they will engage in the unethical behavior of rejecting that kind of divine will, blatant power, blatant strength, blatant wisdom? So 64 started off. Allah had power over all things. He had power over Jung and Pauline, as I suggested. Even though no one would make the connection between their heavenly scholarly activities in the mundane developments of the Nation of Islam in Paradise Valley of Detroit, Michigan. I'm glad this is the month of Ramadan, because that which came down in this month had the power to transform a donkey like me and others, where we can speak the language of the high and mighty without any fear of contradiction, without any fear of rational or intuitive rebuttal. Maybe I'll finish the rest of this on, we didn't even get how we need to apply this to the year 1964 and connect it up to today's events, the election of Thad Cochran and all that ISIS stuff over in the Middle East, all that's related. And inshallah, Friday, during this month of Ramadan, while Satan is locked up in the human mind, in the human intellect, is free to read one juice every day, to contemplate the wonders of the miraculous Quran. The Quran was the prophet's miracle, and the prophet wrote Quran, and the imam bowed under the tree in his reign to be a sahaba or a companion of Quran. So if you love the prophet, then how can you not love one of those who dedicated their life to the mission of the prophet? His or her life. I'm sorry. Dear the beloved audience, this is Ramadan, but somewhere we've gotten a lot of energy. Even though my body this day has been deprived somewhat of nutrition, my soul is full, and we're grateful to the wonderful blessing of Allah. We love Allah. We appreciate him. How he brought justice. He then added, and he gave us to the understanding of Imam Muhammad, the fair lands of East and West. He's given us the knowledge to make it in the dunya and to make it in the world of spiritual excellence. Dear beloved believers, thank you for your patience. I've been going for a pretty good while now, about an hour and three quarters. And this is Ramadan. We're going to constrain ourselves and restrain ourselves verbally, and we're not going any further. We hope and pray that you understand. Again, I apologize for the interruption in the flow of the message, but we thank Allah for his grandeur, for his awesome might, for his tremendous, tremendous skill in what he did with our history in America. Buddy, 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 buddy. You can go back through history and only maybe select a few other instances where there was a more glorious history than what's happened to us as we move from slavery to freedom, justice, and equality. We thank you for your attention. We hope and pray that you understand if I made any mistakes. Pray for my forgiveness. My intentions were pure, my heart was sincere, and my conviction was unswerving. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you so much, Brother Imam, for the wonderful and marvelous exposition of God's blessings upon us. God himself has blessed us. And this is a blessed month. And we now coming up on 39 years of the proper celebration of Ramadan, knowing that we are being permitted to return to our natural state, which is a good state. God created us good, created us in the best of modes, then created us corrupt, then created us in sin, then created us in evilness. It's the world that creates us. So during the day, Imam Muhammad taught us, we restrain ourselves from the world. But the night represents the nature, and it's the nature that is good. So we go back at night to eat, to have sex with our lawful mates, to enjoy the bounties. But even in that darkness, even in the nature, we protect it with much salat, much reading of Quran, meditations. It's a powerful month, a blessed month. And I have to just tell you today that my heart is heavy. A local pastor here nearby, the Reverend Milton A. Byrd, passed on, a great man. I want everybody to know that this broadcast is dedicated to the upliftment of African Americans, be them Christians or Muslims or others. But the people of faith must stand together, work together, love one another, and let's turn the world back to God as God intended it for it to be. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. Until tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we'll see you again on Religion Means Alive.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak to you as well. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I need to get up and work out. I enjoy myself.
It's not time to work out.